Thursday morning, Jeremy Clements here with you on Let's Talk, sitting in for Mark Ellerbrock. Mark back with us next week here on the Big Z. We have a busy first hour this morning. I'll catch up with a local author in just a little while, talk about his publication on the state of soccer in America as the World Cup is underway in Brazil. We'll get to that much, much more later in depth, but the first portion of our show this morning, we'll spend focusing on milk and National Dairy Month, as it is National Dairy Month. I have a couple of guests in studio here with me this morning to enlighten me more about all the wonders of the dairy world. We have Erin Rich from the St. Louis District Dairy Council. She is a nutrition educator, also a retired dairy farmer. In studio with us as well this morning, and we will get to all of that and much more here. And good morning to both of you.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
No problem. So, welcome. And so we are right in the midst of National Dairy Month here in June, Erin. And tell us, how did we come about? How did we get to a National Dairy Month?
Well, it started in 1937, and it was National Milk Month originally. And I think Carl Baumann is here as our kind of dairy farmer representative, and he can give a little bit of insight as to kind of how that came about.
Sure. As a dairy farmer and cows back in 1930s, middle 30s, spent most of their life out in the pasture, and Mother Nature would be Mother Nature, and the mother cow would drop her calf in the spring of the year. She would eat the grass that would be growing, and a lot of milk was produced in the month of May, June, and July. Today we have schools letting out at the end of May where a lot of milk is consumed, and it seems like as we get into the summer months, we turn to lemonade and juices and water, and we sometimes forget about the milk. So with the increase in milk production that occurs in May, June, and July, and the decrease in consumption, June is Dairy Month, is born to promote milk.
Oh, so just a really great opportunity to get more youngsters drinking milk. I mean, I think during the school year, you think, okay, there's milk all over a school. They've got trays full of little cartons to hand out at lunchtime, things like that. But during the summer when you're home, exactly, you're right. Folks don't think about milk.
That's right.
So great insight there as well as to why. So we're here in the month of June, National Dairy Month, and I guess I have to start with the overall question. And Erin, I'll ask this to you, and Carl, feel free to chime in if you'd like as well. But why? What's so important about milk that we need to remember it during this time of the year?
Nutritionally, milk is irreplaceable in our diet. It is a contributor of 9 essential nutrients. That means that we don't make the nutrition in our body. Our bodies are pretty complicated and can do a lot, but these nutrients we have to take in from other sources. So you get a lot of bang for your buck in a glass of milk. It is the number one contributor to potassium, phosphorus, and vitamin D in our diet. It also contributes 70% of the calcium in our nation's food supply. So it is a big staple in these major nutrients that we need to be healthy. Consuming milk is going to help reduce your risk for cardiovascular disease, hypertension, high blood pressure, and even osteoporosis. We know that milk is a big player in our bones, but it's also a really big player in preventing these diseases that are a big issue later in life.
So, wow, and I had no idea that there was a tie to blood pressure with milk. I knew about osteoporosis. I mean, I think that's the one we hear probably the most about, but I didn't have any idea about blood pressure being a factor.
It is. The nutrients in it, the potassium, the calcium, they really play a role in regulating our blood pressure.
So we know now a little bit more about why milk is so important. If I am thinking, okay, I need to work more milk into my diet, how much should I try to get in every day?
For Americans 9 years and older, we want to see 3 servings a day of dairy products. So milk, cheese, and yogurt. Serving sizes are 8 ounces of milk. That's a cup of milk, 8 ounces of yogurt, 1.5 ounces of natural cheese, or 2 ounces of processed cheese are those servings. For younger kids, 4 to 8, 2.5 servings. And then those 2 and 3 year olds, just 2 servings a day. On average, Americans are getting in about 2 servings a day. So if we just add a serving in somewhere, we can meet those 3 servings a day and reap the benefits of those 9 essential nutrients. The disease prevention also contributes to healthy weight, too, by getting those 3 servings a day in. Could get creative. You could have fruit and yogurt parfaits for the summer months, milk or yogurt-based smoothies. It's so hot out that that can be a refreshing snack or breakfast idea. Adding cheese to sandwiches is a good addition. One thing that we may not be using quite as much in the warmer months, but the cooler months, things like soups and hot cereals, you can make them with milk instead of water, and it tastes the same, and you get all those nutrients from that additional serving of dairy as well.
So just a number of ways to work that milk into your diet. It's not just you think, oh, I have to have milk, so I'm just going to sit here and gulp down a glass. No, you can do a wide variety with it. Now, what about folks who are lactose intolerant? What can they do? How can they get around that hurdle?
That's a good question. Lactose intolerance is something a lot of people, they have or have been told that they have, and it is not a reason to avoid dairy products. The nutrition in milk is irreplaceable. You don't get that from other beverages, these 9 essential naturally occurring nutrients. So the recommendation for people who are lactose intolerant, you've got a few options. One is to start small, 2 or 4 ounces of milk at a time, because that lactose intolerance kind of varies from person to person, the amount of milk you can tolerate. So start small, just a small amount. You get that nutrition in and have it with food, so it's not the only thing hitting your digestive tract. Mm-hmm. Is an option. Another option is to go with lactose-free milk. It comes from a cow. It has all of those nutrition benefits. It's just missing that lactose sugar so you can digest it and tolerate it. So you get all the nutrition benefits. Another option could be using other dairy foods. So cheese is a perfectly good example of a dairy food that has lots of nutrients in it. It just doesn't have a lot of lactose. So it's pretty well tolerated generally by people who are lactose intolerant, especially if you stick to those serving sizes. The other option is yogurt. Yogurt has those active cultures we hear a lot about, that good bacteria. Right. It's really good for our digestion. It also helps break down that lactose, and so it's much better tolerated.
When folks are going to be out looking for things like milk or yogurt or other dairy things like cheese in a store, are there any things they should be looking for in terms of on a label, any kind of notification, you know, hey, this is the real deal, this is going to be what I want, as opposed to, you know, some of the other substitutes we see out on the market today?
Right. There's a lot of beverages in the dairy aisle that are not dairy foods. A lot of plant-based products. These are just plant-based solutions or plant parts that are made into this quote-unquote milk. And it's not milk, it's just a beverage substitute. And the thing is with those beverages is they do not come close to the nutrient package that milk has naturally. Mm. Milk does not need to add calcium for it to have calcium. And the benefit of having naturally occurring nutrients is your body uses them so much better. Mm. So when you're getting a plant-based alternative, it has to have that calcium added to it, which means that your body isn't going to absorb and use it quite as well as it would from a naturally occurring source. Another kind of big reason to stick with cow's milk, and it'll be labeled as milk, but there's not going to be a plant name in front of it, is that it has 8 grams of high quality protein. And protein is a big thing in our diet these days. A lot of people are trying to get higher protein amounts. There's a lot of benefits to having a little bit more protein in your diet. It helps hold you over. It helps build and repair muscle. It helps prevent illness. Milk has 8 grams naturally. On average, these plant alternatives have about 1 gram. And I think that's something a lot of people don't realize, but simply flipping over that label and looking right at the protein, you're going to see how much protein it is in it. Another thing you're going to notice is the ingredient list. The ingredient list in milk is fairly simple. It's got milk in it.
Right.
The ingredient list in these other beverages are going to have a lot of stabilizers and additives to make it liquid, because these foods don't naturally produce milk. So the list gets longer and longer. And a good rule of thumb is the shorter the ingredient list, the more whole the food is, the better it is for you.
So, yeah, you know, I think that's, you know, a misconception. Folks think, oh, you know, this processed stuff, everything is processed now. Everything is regulated now. But folks, you know, view that as a bad thing, but it really isn't.
As far as milk is concerned, cow's milk, no. The fact that it's regulated is a good thing. It's making sure that it's safe for us.
Sure.
But as far as processing is concerned, there's not a lot added to it. There's not a lot done to it. It's natural and it's whole and it's from a cow. And these other foods are more processed and they are losing its whole form. And when you the more you process a food, the more you lose its nutrition. You're pulling nutrients out. You have to add them back in. You're losing the natural qualities that the food provides.
So, yeah, those are just a number of things to look for, to realize, step back, take a look and say, hey, what am I putting in my body? What's on this list of ingredients? And how can I make sure that I'm getting the right thing in terms of not only for my body in terms of nutrients, but also, it's going to be more cost friendly, too.
Exactly. On average, for our area, a cup of milk is about 19 cents, which is a bargain considering you're getting 9 essential nutrients, great protein, and you're getting a lot of nutrition and benefits from it. These alternative beverages, these plant-based drinks, on average are about 38 cents a cup. So it's twice the amount per cup for far less nutrition. It's I think a lot of people don't realize how much more you're paying. I think there's a lot of spotlight on what's happening in the milk industry, but you're not really noticing that you're still paying far less per cup than you would for any of these other beverages.
And that is the voice of Erin Rich. She is a nutrition educator from the St. Louis District Dairy Council. Retired dairy farmer Carl Baumann is here as well. We'll hear more from both of them as we continue on Let's Talk. As we're due for a break, we'll come back, talk more about why this pasteurizing and why that is so important for milk, and do much more after that as Let's Talk continues here on the Big Z on a Thursday. Don't go away. Welcome back to Let's Talk on a Thursday here on the Big Z. I'm Jeremy Clements with you in for Mark Ellenbrock here this morning. Mark will be back with us next week. Of course, we have Let's Talk Special Edition coming your way tomorrow on the Big Z. Stick around for that tomorrow with a Friday morning poll. Sam Stim in with a mystery guest for the Let's Talk Special Edition tomorrow. But right now, we continue our conversation with St. Louis Dairy Council's nutrition educator Erin Rich and retired dairy farmer Carl Baumann. Carl, we've heard a lot from Erin here this morning. Coming from your perspective, we should mention definitely the safety that goes into the milk production from your end.
Dairy farmers take very good care of their cows. If we don't take good care of our cows, they aren't healthy, and they won't produce milk, which is the object of the whole game. So the milk that comes from these healthy cows is very safe. Mm-hmm. Sometimes accidents happen, sometimes injuries occur, and the best way to treat that is with an antibiotic. In today's world, the testing mechanism that is in place is very, very definitive, and we have to be very careful that we don't sell any milk that is produced from a cow that has been treated with antibiotic. If that would happen, an accident, it will be caught before it even gets into the processing plant. When that happens, that dairy farmer just bought that load of milk. So you can't afford to buy $6,000-$7,000 truckloads of milk. So antibiotic treated milk never leaves the farm. I have to take care of that. The dairy farmer has to take care of that on the farm. So when it leaves the farm, we know that it's pure and clean. When it goes to the processing plant, the processing company will also test it, and you can explain those things at the processing plant.
I had the benefit of touring a local processing plant recently, and we got to see exactly what happens. When that truckload of milk pulls up, it goes under test as well. It is not allowed to leave the truck until it passes these tests. So everything entering the plant is safe. And then a lot of people, I think it's important to know that when it enters a processing plant, it doesn't mean that you're pulling out all the nutrition and overprocessing it and turning it into something that it's not. It is still milk. And when milk goes into the plant, it still leaves as milk, too, when you're buying milk. What happens is it's pasteurized. And it's very important to pasteurize milk because if you do not, it could possibly contain bacteria that could continue to grow and produce toxins and cause foodborne illness. Mm-hmm. And that is something that is really not worth the risk. There's a lot in the news about children who are being hospitalized with organ failure and with, sometimes even fatalities that come with foodborne illness from unprocessed, unpasteurized milk. So that pasteurization is imperative to our health in preventing foodborne illness. We still preserve all of that nutrition, those 9 essential nutrients, the protein, the calcium, the vitamin D, those things that keep us healthy and strong are all preserved in that process. What happens is it's ensured that we are killing off bacteria that could potentially make us sick. It's necessary to make sure that we stay healthy. What I also found pretty interesting is the turnaround from cow to carton is 48 hours. So it is fresh milk, and it is 9 times out of 10. If you're buying milk from your grocery store, it's fresh out of a cow. I mean, it's been pasteurized, sure. And it's been taken measures to make sure it's safe. But it also is from somewhere that's close to you. A lot of people are supporting their local farmers. They're going to farmers markets. They're going places to support what's going on locally. And buying milk is a way to do that, to support your local dairy farmers.
So, wow. You know, and that's something I wouldn't have even thought of, you know, going to a store and seeing milk in a carton or in a jug or what have you, thinking, oh, man, that could have just been from a farm in Highland or a farm in Troy or a farm in the Riverbend area. That's just a fantastic thing that does really go back to support your local economy as well. That, by the way, was the voice of Erin Rich. She is a nutrition educator from the St. Louis District Dairy Council. A little bit earlier, we heard again from Carl Bauman, our retired dairy farmer from the Highland area. And Carl, when you looked at getting involved in, you know, we talked a little bit off the air, you know, you were born into it as a family business. What kind of experiences, you know, things like that, when you work with folks like Erin, what does that add to your career?
Well, as a dairy farmer for some 40 plus years, I was very interested in what happened to the milk after it left the farm. Too often we as producers produce the milk and send it on the truck on its way and forget about it. There is a advertising promotion fee that is assessed, and we take that fee and develop an organization like the St. Louis Dairy Council for good nutrition education and a resource. So in that process, we have good people working for the dairy industry, promoting all the good aspects of it. We, on my particular farm, when we were milking cows, we spent a lot of time entertaining school children on farm tours. And they would come out and be out in the country on the farm. And wow, does it get dark out here? where do you work? And so one of my phrases was, this is where I live. Isn't that great? This is also where I work. Isn't that great? When I'm at home, I'm at work, and when I'm at work, I'm at home. And it was a very pleasurable life for me that I could raise my 3 children on the farm, and they learned a lot about agriculture, about life, and we attempted to pass that along to school children as they came to the farm.
Well, and you mentioned farm tours. That's a great way to kind of segue back to Erin for a second. Throughout the month of June, since it is Dairy Month, I understand there have been some farm tours going on around the area and people going on to farms to learn more about what is going into producing this product.
Yeah, local farms. There's various ones in the area who host farm tours. They actually do it year-round, but in the month of June, too, and they invite people to come and learn about what's going on a farm, how cows are treated so well, because the happier a cow is, the more milk it produces. So they invite people to come see what goes on and how safe milk is, but also learn that milk doesn't come from cartons. It comes from cows, and a lot of people don't realize that. So a lot of local farmers will invite people on to see tours. We've done some events in the area, too. I did one at Eckert's where we just sampled some yogurt, and I gave some nutrition information because it's a place where people go who are interested in what's going on locally with produce and with foods, and it was a good place to meet people and to put out the good word of dairy, too.
And so, again, that's going on, of course, year-round, excuse me, all year-round, but again, this is National Dairy Month, and Erin, we're about out of time. I got to ask, where can people go to learn more?
We have a website. It is stldairycouncil.org, and that is where you can go and find information on nutrition and what we're doing in the community. We also have a Facebook page where you can kind of follow us on what we're doing all the month of June.
And, Carl, is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
June is Dairy Month. Enjoy all the special flavors of milk and take you three a day.
All right. Well, Carl, thank you so much. Aaron, thank you as well for stopping by and, you know, again, expressing just how good milk is for us and dairy products in general are for us, and something that we probably should remember more often. We're out of time. We'll come back, continue Let's Talk with a talk about some soccer here on the Big Z. Don't go away on this Thursday.